In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, please be seated. Watching children learning, it's easy to see how readily they adapt. No doubt every month Tiara is learning new things and her brain is bursting with potential. These past weeks she's been learning about baptism and probably faster than most of us could. Children learn second languages faster than adults with our fused synapses and well-worn mental pathways. Children still have huge amounts of wonder and are open to change. For expediency in life, we adults leave an awful lot autopilot, like the computer program that flies the aeroplane during the boring long-haul bits. That strategy is in part what makes human beings so successful. Autopilot means that without much conscious thought, we put a cup of tea to our mouth and don't spill it down our shirts, most days. But Jesus was not stuck on autopilot, as we often find ourselves. He was open to learning in the most fundamental areas of life, just like a child, but even when he was an adult. In today's gospel account, we see that he remains truly adaptable, and that's my charge to you today. Jesus was not a kind of robot messiah sent to save the world, but to stay aloof from it. In fact, there's a heresy in the early church called docetism that sounds pretty similar to this sort of robot messiah idea. Somebody, Jesus, pretending to be curious, pretending to be a real person, but secretly he sort of already had all the answers downloaded. He was only pretending to eat, wasn't really eating. He wasn't really curious. But that is a heresy. In fact, Jesus learns quite often in the Gospels, and we learn through him. In today's account, Jesus changes his mind not about a little thing, but about the most fundamental thing to him, that is, the entire mission of his life. The message that Christ was only for Israel was turned on its head, which is good news for all of us. See how the foreign woman's faith changes his mind and how open he is to his expanded mission. In the gospel that Peter just read, it says this: Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. And that's a little note to us, the hearers or readers, that she's a foreigner, which tells us she's probably a troublemaker. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, Let the little children be fed first. That is, I've come to take care of Israel, God's children, the little children. Let them be fed first. And then he says, It's not fair to take the children's food, that's Israel's inheritance, and throw it to the dogs. That's you and me. We're the dogs, the Gentiles. But she answered him, here we go, the foreign woman, making trouble, challenging the wise man. Sir, she says, even the dogs, that's us, the Gentiles, have under the table time to eat the children's crumbs. So she's saying what's left over of God's graciousness to his chosen people should be allowed to fall to us, the rest of humanity. And then, rather than rebuke her or remind her that he's come to save Israel alone, or that he's a wise teacher, or that talking back to a man in this time is completely bizarre, he says to her, For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on the bed, and the demon had gone. So in the course of just this tiny exchange, Jesus changes his mind not only on her daughter, but by extension, his mind on his entire mission, his raison d'etre. He's no longer exclusively there for the salvation of Israel alone, but for all people. Pretty amazing. This is a really big change in Jesus' thinking, and there's almost an identical account given in Matthew 15 where the change of mind is perhaps even more stark. Jesus the Christ was adaptable to the point of changing his mission and his life. No autopilot here. He truly was a fantastic man. And that's the lesson of life for our personal and also for our church priorities. We must learn to manage our anxiety and be open to God's voice. Be ready to hear where God's leading. Like Jesus in the whole Diocese of Adelaide, we are going to need to be fleet of foot. In my view, we congregations, people in parishes, can lose heart because we react against an almost impossible situation in 2024. We feel responsible for the sacraments, for baptizing and celebrating the Eucharist, as we'll do today, for providing a spiritual heart for the community, as the faithful people of St. Martin's do here, responsible for maintaining what is fabulous architecture, but always expensive and problems arise, and responsible for the decline of the position and condition of the church in Australia in this day and age. The job for parishes is so great, and then we sort of dial up our anxiety and block out the reality of any opportunity coming our way. And we think, Lord, just let it limp along while I'm alive. Friends, the truth is we don't need to have it all figured out. Tiara's family do not have the whole thing figured out for her. In faith, they take it a day at a time. They take advantage of the best opportunities that arise for Tiara. And we need to do the same for the church. We need to have a Christ-like and adaptable disposition, because hitherto unimagined possibilities will arise if we are in an adaptable frame of mind. It's true. And I want you to dream big, St. Martin's. God is not finished here. No way. This is a parish that looks outward, who should be buoyed when they hear the words of the letter James today. This is a parish who asks, what is God up to? I want to join in. A parish with hope in its veins. And God has much more left to do here. So I ask you as a parish to pray for Tiara as new opportunities open for her. And I ask you to pray for St. Martin's too, for new opportunities to arise for this parish. You might like to add a prayer for your own life too. So I ask you to support Tiara and also Peter and all the faithful and curious folks who walk through your doors as they try and be adaptable for the God of constant renewal. The Lord be with you.